Rachel Swift is packing. Boxes scattered around her home are getting filled with pots, children's toys, and framed photos. She's moving to North Carolina, leaving behind a good job, her family, and painful memories of Pittsburgh.
His name was Sean Thompson, but we all called him Liddell.
2 summers ago, Swift's fiancé was murdered in Lawrenceville, a few blocks from their home. They were already planning to move. Thompson had spent years in jail for a slew of offenses and wanted a new start. For her, the aftermath has been an arduous journey, alleviated in some ways by those around her.
My neighbors have been great support. I mean, they all talked to him on a regular basis. They all knew what happened, so they all kind of, were there for me. So that has helped. I do feel bad if you're in a neighborhood like Homewood and Wilkinsburg where there's violence every day. I can remember maybe 2 days after his death, you know, it was close to the 4th of July, so always hearing firecrackers would startle me.
Community violence remains pervasive. While Pittsburgh has a lower homicide rate than the national average, that means nothing to people who live in communities where gunshots ring out regularly, where schools are constantly placed on lockdown, and where murder and injuries are the norm.
If you live in a dangerous environment and you are aware of it as a young child, or you become aware of it through people you know being injured or being killed, you have heightened awareness of the danger around you. And you may, through that rewiring of your brain and your danger alert system, become constantly on guard for danger. And that is a form of trauma.
That's Judith Cohen, medical director at the Center for Traumatic Stress in Children and Adolescents at Allegheny General Hospital. She's treated thousands of young people. Yet she says researchers are still learning how the brain and body respond to trauma in childhood and adulthood. One of the things they do know is that when a person is faced with danger, their brain becomes rewired to expect danger. It no longer responds as if the world around them is safe. Community violence in Pittsburgh and nationwide has declined since the 90s. But for people like Rachel Swift, the memories remain.
You know, growing up in Wilkinsburg and visiting neighboring, you know, communities, growing up, I mean, I remember being scared to walk down certain streets in the early 90s. And then as the gang violence had stopped, being more comfortable, but still now visiting those areas saying, wow, it's deserted. I remember when this used to go on, when that used to go on.
Swift says growing up in a community with pervasive violence didn't traumatize her. But it's still why she moved to Lawrenceville, where she thought it would be safer. Judith Cohen says constant exposure to violence can affect immune systems and have other secondary health effects, such as keeping children from playing outdoors, which might lead to childhood obesity and difficulty building relationships. But two people exposed to the same experiences won't necessarily have the same reactions.
Trauma is one of those conditions that it can be lying, that predisposition can be lying in wait in you and me and anybody, but it's not going to make itself known until you have trauma exposure. But once that exposure occurs, if you have that genetic or biological predisposition, it can then suddenly rear its head in somebody who has that predisposition much more readily than somebody who is more resilient biologically or genetically. And that's why we see, for example, in soldiers who are fighting the war, even if they're equally exposed to combat, only about 20% develop full-blown post-traumatic stress disorder.
One long-term ongoing study is the Adverse Childhood Experiences Study, or ACEs. It looks at the impact of trauma in childhood over time. It's found that for children who experience trauma and don't have treatment, there are severe long-term negative outcomes, such as asthma, allergies, heart conditions, mental health problems, substance abuse, and high suicide rates. Pam Hyde runs the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration in the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Community violence hasn't always been recognized as a community health issue, but she says more research is underway in this field.
Sort of the more ACEs you have, the more risk you have, not automatic, but the more risk you have as an adult to have either physical or behavioral health issues. So we're getting some deeper understanding of that, and SAMHSA has certainly been supporting the issue of trauma-informed care over the last decade.
Rachel Swift works in the mental health field. Within a month of her fiancé's murder, she started going to therapy sessions at the Center for Victims of Violent Crime in East Liberty.
Living my life the way that I have, that I'm more open to treatment. I see how it works because I've seen how it works in my clients. I think there's somewhat a little bit of a stigma in our community that people don't feel as though they need to go to talk to somebody about their problems. But when things are destroying you on the inside, you don't have a choice. You have to find out what's going on, and you have to find out why you're reacting to certain situations and why you can't get over the hurt and the pain throughout your life.
Box, here. Put them in a box. Box. Let's try this stuff. Right here.
Cookie.
Here. Cookie. Put them in a box.
Trauma tends to present biologically more than psychologically. Swift was pregnant and concerned about their unborn child. She was less than 2 months away from giving birth.
Mommy.
She keeps photos and mementos of her son's father all over the house.
Where's Daddy Jackson?
Look.
Where is he?
I show Jackson pictures of his dad every day to the point now he knows that's his dad. He gives him a kiss. I made memory boxes that I've put things of Lydell's in there for him. And I'm just going to give him the memories that I had of his dad so that that's how he remembers him.
Swift wants to give her son opportunities her fiancé didn't have and doesn't want him to fall into the same patterns as Thompson.
Everything that he had been into when he was younger, he totally elevated from that and knew what he needed to do for us. And once he found out we were going to have a son, it definitely became more real that he needed to get away from here and didn't see himself growing, especially with a criminal record and having opportunities that he would have in Atlanta and some other places.
Now she's making that start without him, but with their son. I'm Erica Barris, 90.5 WESA News.